Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today, Doug Stout and Matt Dole. They are here to talk about what is going to be an awesome, awesome event taking place in early September. But first, mostly sunny today, high near 75. Clear skies tonight, low near 49. Boy, that's right in Riley's wheelhouse.
Yes,
right there,
it is.
49.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm loving the weak weather. Loving it.
Open them windows and get cool in that house, I guess.
Oh, my golly.
And then for Tuesday, sunny with a high near 71. All right, Doug and Matt joining us today. Doug, you were wishing me a happy birthday and all that, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, you said, do you celebrate? I said, nah, we only do the tens. Are you birthday celebrate guy?
No. I mean, we do it, but I'm okay without doing it, especially
well, you're old.
Each older one. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, the only reason to celebrate is I actually made it another year. You know, instead of like you're going to get your driver's license now, it's like, wow, you're not in the grave this time. So you're here to blow if you can.
Wow. The bar is low. Very low.
Low in the staff household. Matt, what about you? Are you a birthday celebrant?
You know, the older I get, the more I'm less interested in celebrating, really. I guess you could look at it both ways, right? It's annoying to get older, but here we are, we've made it.
Yep, so. That's exactly
I see. I feel the other way. I feel like you want to be an annoyance to the people around you, so
that's
make
fair.
A big, you know, make a big
that's
deal fair. Out of it, or pound
that's
sand.
Fair. Yeah, I'm the guy who has to do his own birthday party, though, so
okay.
that's a problem.
Oh, really? Yeah. Do it up big, then.
I was going to say, that means piling on even more.
They would never give me that responsibility, I can tell you that right now.
Well, yeah, because you'd only invite you.
It's the only person who would come. What are you talking about? All right, Doug, obviously, if we're having you in here, we're talking about history, veterans, and those kind of things, but boy, coming up in September. This is so wonderful. And Matt, you've, I know, been involved in this historical marker for the Hudson area, but maybe talk a little bit about what's going to be taking place.
I mean, this is 83 years in the making. I mean, finally, you know, on September 8th, 1942, you know, the plane crash on Hudson Avenue that killed six people on board, two women on the ground, you know, it's been like local lore, local talk for years. And finally, there's going to be some markers placed on the site or across the street from the site so that, you know, these people are remembered.
You know, folks may not remember what happened back then.
Right.
Can you give a little bit of background on that?
You know, so on that day, a plane took off from Dayton carrying six Army Air Corps personnel. It was rainy, low overcast skies, flew over Newark. It caught some people's attention because they heard it turn around. When it turned around, it was down about the works. Like I say, it was a very low cloud cover. By this time, it's just about noon. It's the day after Labor Day. People are busy downtown. You know, that's where everybody went. It dropped out of the clouds at about the old county jail, which was then the county jail, and the tail section hit a tree. And that damaged the tail to some extent. We're not exactly sure how much. The pilot got control. He started then north up 3rd Street. Barely missed the courthouse, barely missed the steeple of the Second Presbyterian Church. So his path was somewhere along there. There are eyewitnesses, some having him driving or flying over the old carrels. About Church Street, part of the tail section fell off. The co-pilot and the pilot tried jumping out of the plane. They were, of course, too low. Their parachutes didn't open. The pilot went through a home on Locust, killed him. The co-pilot ended up on a B&O loading dock at the end of Wyoming Street. Of course, it killed him. And then the plane went down on the house of Jane Weston on the corner of Wyoming Street and Hudson Avenue. Jane was in the house along with two other women who were working on the house. They were hanging drapes. They were both injured, but they weren't killed. Jane was killed. Dolly Campbell, who was walking by the house, returning from downtown. She lived on Wyoming. Part of the engine came off and crushed her. So, it was just mayhem, of course, trying the fire department, you know, of course, was not prepared for that sort of thing. But like I say, it killed them all. But, you know, the crash report's very scarce as to exactly what happened. It's World War II. There's not, you know, this happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, we aren't the only city this ever happened in.
Yeah.
I think the crash report was done in a week. You know, whereas now, you know, it'd be 3 years, you know, and they really couldn't come to any great decision on what happened exactly because the plane was just smashed to pieces.
So, Joel, I mean, you've lived here a long time. Your parents and...
I've heard the story, but I didn't know that detail of it.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you had heard that because when I was first approached by Bob Melville, he's like, hey, we're going to try to get a marker up. I'm like, for what? And then he started to tell me the story. I'm like, you're kidding me. So then I started to do the research on it. It's amazing. How did you get involved in this, Matt? I mean, what was your role? How did you kind of come to this point with this?
Yeah, I just, I like history, and I followed what Doug was doing. By the way, he did that off the top of his head, no notes. That's pretty impressive to know that story,
now,
isn't
hold
it?
Hold on a minute. This guy here, I can ask him anything I need to about any veterans, any history.
It's true enough.
He's got it.
I like history, but I need books to read. So I followed what Doug did, and I just thought a marker... A permanent marker needed to be placed, and so I thought I could help do some fundraising, and we did that. We undertook a fundraising campaign, sort of crowdsourced it, and raised enough to not only do sort of the traditional marker that people know and they'll see, but we also have an interpretive plaque that will have some photos and more detailed information of the story Doug told, and that'll go on the grounds at Hudson House there at the corner of Wyoming and Hudson. And on September 8th, the anniversary, we'll be at the Midland Theater to dedicate the whole thing.
When you were going and you were seeking, you know, to get funds, did you find people were going, what are you talking about? We need to, what happened here? I mean, I got to imagine there was a lot of folks who were like, what?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there were a lot of folks who weren't aware of it. We've had donations from all over Ohio and from out of state, and a lot of different people, folks who are interested in local history, some folks who are connected to some families who are involved. We had local support from the city of Newark and Explore Licking County, and got it done relatively quick. It's been a few years in the process, but we got it done relatively quickly. Got the marker actually is from Ohio too. A lot of these historical markers are made down in Marietta, Ohio, so a little bit of a local connection there, at least regional connection. And I'm glad that we'll have a permanent place to tell the story that Doug has really done an outstanding job of researching, highlighting, and make sure it didn't die.
It seems like that with the genealogy business, that people are more interested in their own lineage, finding their roots in that. That seems to have kind of expanded out. It seems like people are more history aware than ever right now. Is that fair or no?
I mean, I think so, especially in this area. This area loves their history. Mm-hmm. And so anything we can do history-wise, you know, it seems like people are interested in it. You know, and if you make it interesting and just you know, start saying dates, you're good, you know. But it's a good time to be a researcher because you can find a lot of stuff online now that, you know, you used to have to sit through, you know, and sift through newspapers and microfilm and, you know, make yourself dizzy.
So what are the ways you do that now when you're looking for a specific event? Is it just Google it and go and follow the rabbit hole?
I don't like Google.
Okay.
I don't. You've got to do these pay sites. I mean, Ancestry, newspapers.com, and they each one have like different little niches. So you still have to know, kind of figure out where I'm looking. Plus, I'm really big on going back to as close to the original source as possible. You know, so if I can find newspapers of the time, those are my best things. And the nice thing about this was it was covered pretty well at the time. They had a lot of eyewitness accounts in the newspaper at that date. So it's not, I think I remember, it's what happened at that time. So when we did the documentary on this, we could use those actual recollections of those people and say, this is where I was when I heard this, or this is where I was. And the crash report had one guy basically that said he saw the whole thing when he heard the plane go across. Hmm. So it's looking for that sort of thing to me, rather than what I'm finding is a lot of the local history is wrong because, like, somebody maybe wrote an article about it in 1940 of some event, and then somebody in researching it went back to that article and took that as that's the truth. And so now that's got published in 10 years later, and then 10 years later, you know, everybody just uses that. It's that original research that, and like I say, now it is nicer because you can get a little bit more online. I mean, I could talk all day about this, guys.
Well, patience of Job then, because, I mean, like you said, you think you've got it, then you got to go back. You got to look. You got to go back. You got to verify and all this. And I'm not saying that folks don't do that, but, you know, to Joel's point, most of us now, when we want to learn something, just Google it and go.
Right.
But, I mean, you have to have some patience to go back and do that.
I you know, in one of my articles this week, I had to go back and correct something I said because I found it was a local event that happened to Edward Roy, who was the first librarian president, that it was in a local paper, supposedly, but I don't have that local paper, but it was reprinted in the Chicago Tribune. And the article, and I found that in the Chicago Tribune, of all places, picked up an article from Newark where he said he was in Newark in 1864, and that was the only proof that I'd ever found that he was here in 1864.
Wow.
So it's just, you can't be afraid to say, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because you might find something.
With this, we'll take a break here in a sec, but I'm kind of curious. Obviously, back in the 1940s, you didn't have the national news like you have now, but you had AP and all those kind of things. Did this hit? I mean, did you find stories as you were putting this together from across the country going, hey, we had a B-52 go down in Newark, or no?
No.
Nothing at all.
I mean, there was some AP, but like you say, it just wasn't. There were other planes, I don't want to say falling out of the sky, but this training type of thing wasn't, and you know, we're just in the war. And I think part of me thinks that because they don't want to damper the war effort and stuff, so they don't want to, like, we don't want to focus on this.
Yeah.
When I went looking for, because I was, you know, reading the papers, and they said there was a debris trail through town. Well, don't you think there'd be records in city council or county commission? Somebody had to clean that up. There's nothing. And I just, loose lips sink ships, I don't know. You know, if that was just the mentality, we're at war, this happened, it's a tragic thing, but we need to just move on now.
Was there anybody that you did research on and went, my God, they're coming to us, the enemy? I mean, was there anybody who thought that at that time, who said, wait a minute, are we under attack in Newark? Because, I mean...
Yeah, it wasn't written up ever that way. I think it was...
I think
they could truly identify that it was one of our military aircraft,
right.
And I don't think anybody, I don't think there was enough sirens going off. Yeah, wasn't enough time for anybody to be thinking that much.
Yeah.
I mean, they just saw that a military aircraft was coming down. And the one guy said, you know, they were used to military aircraft flying over because it's a pretty common air route.
Yep.
But it was just when it turned around, it was like, whoa, why is he turning around?
Yeah. Wow. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town with Matt Dole and Doug Stout. You're listening to Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Doug Stout and Matt Dole. They are talking about an upcoming event to memorialize a B-52 bomber that went down right here in Newark. We'll get into more of that in a second. Mostly sunny today, high near 75. Clear tonight, low near 49. And for Tuesday, sunny with a high near 71. All right, Matt, we'll give Doug a chance to catch his breath over there. But first off, again, remind folks when all these big events are going to be taking place, where, what's the particulars they need to know about?
Sure, yeah. We'll be dedicating the marker on September 8th at the Midland Theater. It's the anniversary. You know, people are like, Monday at 10 a.m., why are you doing that? Well, it's the actual anniversary of the crash. So we'll be at the Midland Theater September 8th. Doors will open at 10 a.m. We're going to show Doug's documentary at 10:30. That's when things will get kicked off. We'll dedicate the marker at 11:30 and hear some folks talk. We'll have the colors presented by Newark Air Junior ROTC. And it should be a great event. And folks can just show up. The Midland's a big place, and we're happy that they're working with us. But if they want to reserve tickets, they can go to newarkb25.com and sign up for some tickets.
Is there a cost if folks want to come?
No cost. Absolutely free. Come on out. We want this to be a community celebration and dedication to making this memory permanent.
So then where will the, again, if folks didn't hear in the beginning, where will this actual marker be?
Yeah, we'll have two things. We'll have the historical marker right across from the house that was hit at Wyoming and Hudson. It's on the grounds of the Hudson House that's now an event space right on the corner there. And we'll also have an interpretive plaque with more detailed information and photos right there as well.
In that Hudson Historic Community, folks really do their best to keep that up, right? I mean, I know, you know, we talk about Bob Meldon, we have fun, you know, Bob could talk forever. I mean, but I mean, they do take pride in what is happening there. I have to imagine this is a sense of pride for these folks down there.
Yeah, in fact, when I first broached the subject of trying to get a marker, I wasn't sure what group it would go through. You know, you have to have some group that can take the money and then, you know, buy the marker and all that. And I wasn't sure who that was going to be. And Bob sort of came to me and he said, it's going to be us. Of course it's going to be us. This is our project, which I loved, by the way. I mean, I was out looking and he volunteered. So they're really dedicated to that area, as everybody knows. And I think they're happy to have this marker. Plenty of parking there at the Hudson House, so folks can pull over and get out and read the information. And I think this can be a resource for the community moving forward.
What was this process to get a marker? I don't know, maybe if you know or not. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like you just call up somebody at the state of Ohio and go, hey, I'd like to get a marker out here. What's the process for doing that?
Yeah, so there is an official Ohio marker program. This is not part of that. This is independent of that because they get, I was told, something like 1,000 applications a year and do like 20 of them a year. Mm-hmm. So that's a real hard thing to get into. And so we looked at that. We said it probably isn't a great option. We think we can raise some money and get our own marker. And so then it just became getting a group of folks together, Doug and Bob and some other folks. And we wrote it. We, you know, with Doug's help, we wrote what the marker says. So if there's any mistakes, it's Doug's fault. Yeah. I was the money guy. It's all Doug's fault.
Yep.
If there's a period out of place, whatever that is.
I can't sleep at 3 a.m. in the morning.
You talk about under the bus.
Under the plane.
Yeah, very good.
So, and then we went to Siwa Studios in Marietta. They do markers all across the country, and they were great to work with, got that done, and then worked with a company out of Pennsylvania to do the interpretive plaque. So mm-hmm. There's groups out there that do these things, and it was really, the fundraising was the linchpin, right? I mean, it was fun to talk about what the marker would say, but we had to have the money. And it was a few thousand dollars to do the project the way we did it. Mm-hmm. So it took a little bit of money, but we had great support from the community and elsewhere.
You know, Doug, I know you do a lot of things. I mean, everybody who knows the veterans, you know, with the Licking County Library and that. But when you're doing a marker like this, I mean, that's going to be there forever. I mean, do you just feel the, I don't want to say the pressure, but do you feel the weight of history when you're doing these things?
I feel the weight. I feel the responsibility on all of it, on the Veterans Project. I mean, anything, it's just anything I do, I feel the responsibility to the memories of whoever we're talking about and also, you know, to the library, you know, because these are projects that, you know, I am an employee of the library. So this is the library's initiative to do these things, you know, to remember our veterans, to remember this site. You know, the library, you know, funds the documentary. They fund me. So I feel a lot of responsibility to make sure these things are done and done properly for just everybody involved and for the community. I think it's a sense of community pride. Not that this is an event to be proud of, but to remember those that died, remember the families, the local families, and, you know, the families of these crewmen that died.
You mentioned families, and here's the cool thing about this. I don't know if Joel knows this or not. You have actual family members that are going to be coming back for this event, correct?
Right.
Maybe talk a little about who's going to be coming back here.
When we did the documentary, you know, you try to find as many family members as you can, you know, and so there were six people on the plane. Three of the families are going to be represented that I know of, that I've been in contact with, the co-pilot's family, the radio navigator's family, and then there were one of the victims. He was catching a flight back. He was on leave in Dayton, and he was catching his flight back to his base on the East Coast that was killed. So those three families, and then Elizabeth Weston was killed here in Dolly Campbell. Elizabeth Weston's family is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Dolly Campbell, her and her husband had no children, so I never could really find anybody. You know, I'm hoping that maybe somebody else will pop up, and, you know, that I haven't been in contact with. But it's exciting. I think last count I had, there's going to be about 14 family members. You know, the Midland's going to keep, you know, the first row center reserved for them. Most of them have never been here to Newark to see the site. Some of them didn't even have all the details. You know, it was just so-and-so was killed in a plane crash, and, you know, that was all they knew. So I'm excited that they're going to get to meet each other, you know, have this shared bond, you know, but that they can come and see what our city has done, mm-hmm. finally. And, you know, most of that is it all, the fundraising is all Matt. You know, before COVID, Bob and I were talking about trying to do something. And COVID hit, of course, slammed everything. Then after COVID, we made the documentary. You know, the documentary was really a call to try to do something. Matt heard the call. He picked it up. You know, I'm not a fundraiser. Bob's not a big fundraiser. He took that ball, and without him taking that and using what he knew to get that going, we wouldn't be here today.
Mm. The documentary, how long did it take you to put that together?
Oh, that one was probably, it's about an hour long. I think it took me about three or four months. I had most of the information ready. But, you know, there again, I mean, using different people at the library to narrate and things. I mean, it's just, they're fun to do, mm-hmm. you know, they're just, I love doing them. But I had most of the information, so I think that was probably about 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. So how many of those have you done? How many documentaries?
We've done Pearl Harbor, D-Day, the Vietnam one, the bomber one, and then the Civil War reunion. So we've done five of them now.
Impressive.
A lot of history here.
Oh, a lot of history here.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
it's amazing.
We could do this forever.
And your articles run in The Advocate, what is it, every Sunday?
Every Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so if folks want to read these, they can just jump
sure.
on there and
yeah.
and get them in that way. I'm curious, when you called the family members, it sounds like they knew something of it, or was there maybe one of you talked to and they're like, all right, who's this guy calling me at 3 a.m. asking me about a bomber in Newark?
They all knew something.
Yeah.
Some of them knew more. Some of them, like I say, just knew, oh, there was a plane crash, and somebody was killed, but they didn't have the details. So some of them knew a little bit more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I was really unveiling anything, you know, too much.
Right.
But to have the information, to get more information, now they all have copies of the crash report. They all have, you know, as much stuff basically as I have. So that they can fill that part in with their family. But it was nice because they then gave us some better pictures. You know, we had some photos, but then they could give us better photos. But there were a couple I just couldn't find any family on.
Sure.
I tried, but
yeah.
I just couldn't.
Oh, I think we all know you tried. I don't think there's any.
Finding a picture of the crew chief, Ovito Pacan, was the hardest.
Really?
And he was from New York, and he wasn't in the military yet. But he was the crew chief. He was working there, but he was flying back to New York, and he was going to ask his family if he could enlist, get their permission.
Wow!
But to try, I can't find even where they buried his remains.
Huh.
But I found he attended some school. His school he attended, and called the school and said, "Do you have a yearbook?" And she looked it up for me and found his picture. So we have one picture of him.
Wow.
his yearbook.
That's dedication right there.
So, I mean,
Detective Doug Stanton.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you ever think about that?
Oh, yeah, I thought about it. I like that kind of stuff.
Sounds like it. Back to you, Matt. When you talk about this for yourself, this has to be one of the most satisfying things you've ever been involved in. I mean, yeah. I know you're involved in the county and do different things, but I mean, just for this something, just say, hey, you know what? I want to help here. And then you get to this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a nice little pat on the back, isn't it?
It was no sure thing. The fundraising was no sure thing. I mean, this was. I didn't know it was going to get done. I was sure hopeful, and we had some real surprise, major big donors who helped get us across the finish line, mm-hmm. and so super appreciative of that. And again, I you mentioned this, but I think speaking to the permanency of this, you know, this is I went down to Marietta to help pick it up. I can tell you, it is a heavy, solid historical marker that will be here for a long time.
No, Matt, I don't want to say anything, but you're a big guy.
That's true.
So my guess is you pretty much just hoisted that thing over your shoulder.
It was heavy for me. That's how heavy it was.
You walked in and the guy down the hall went, that's a big dude. I said, I hope he's here to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, he's part of the show today. Yeah. But that's pretty cool. I mean, so literally you were the first person to see this?
Yep, I sure was. Yeah. And pretty excited. I have some family history in South Dakota. And the marker design, they do markers for different states. And it just so happens that this is the South Dakota design. These are the little things that when you're doing the project, you get to do little nods to yourself. So I picked this design, and I think it's going to fit in well here in Newark.
I think it's fantastic, and kudos to you for jumping in there and being able, because, you know, fundraising is not an easy thing. And when you go to people's houses, we want to get, you know, I'm trying to raise money for this plaque. Well, that's not a kid. That's not an aunt. I mean, because that's where folks will open their money as kids.
Sure.
So kudos to you, because that could not have been easy. But, man, what a job. And, Doug, you know, I tell you this all the time when you come in. Thank God for what you do, because you preserve the history. You talked at a Newark Kiwanis Club meeting a while back, and everybody came up afterward and said, boy, what would we do if that guy wasn't here? I said, you'd be in trouble, because he's the one that goes and gets it. If folks want any of this information, like you're talking about, if they can't get to the event at the Midland, is this documentary online? Did they go to the library? What do they got to do?
The documentary is not online yet. We do have some DVD copies still available for sale at the library for $10. They can always, if they want information, contact me at the library. They want any history information, if they have any history. If you have any parts of the plane, I keep having people tell me, Dad, my dad had a part of that plane, but nobody has a part now.
Uh-huh.
If anybody knows they have a part to that plane, we'd love to have it there on Monday.
So
just contact me down at the Licking County Library downtown.
Anything you got going on at the library?
This Thursday night at 6:00, I'm going to talk about downtown Newark, the history of downtown Newark. If you have never heard it, it was once covered by swamp and ponds. If you didn't know, there were at least two city cemeteries downtown. And other interesting things, I'd like to invite you out at 6:00. Even if you didn't know that, come on out anyway, because I probably have something to show you that I don't know. I hope.
If not, you'll stay up till 3:00 in the morning and find something to bring
you down. Give the man a challenge.
Yes.
Challenge accepted, I'm sure. Well, again, Doug, it's always a pleasure having you in, and thank you so much for what you do. Matt, pleasure meeting you and kind of how you spearheaded this and worked with Bob. And again, you were going to say something? You can say whatever you want.
Thanks to the Hudson House.
Yeah.
I mean, for one, fixing that property up across the street, but for letting us put those plaques there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was the spot really to put them. And what a blessing to have them right there. There's parking where people can stand there, look at the plaques, and look right at the site. So kudos to them for, you know, being that community partner there on Hudson Avenue and allowing us to do that.
Well, you have to have people jump on. If you're going to get something done like this, you're going to need the community buy-in and help.
The community.
It does, no doubt about it. So again, appreciate it. And again, the date, time, if folks need...
September 8th at 10 a.m. at the Midland Theater.
You head down there and then go down and check it all out from there. Well, we appreciate it as always.